Fred Fowler.com.
The opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I'm not sure that Tom Brady's better than Brisket right now.
I think it's pretty close. We talked about this the other day. I mean, if you talk about like Derek Carr versus Tom Brady, I would much rather have Derek Carr going forward than Tom Brady. Even just for 1 year, I would rather have Derek Carr. So I think Tom Brady is in a massive decline. 43 years old. He's not going to get better.
He will not have a better season than he did last year, and he was bad last year.
I agree.
AJ's beloved Grizzlies look solid. They were also missing two of their three best players. Yeah. Let's not, they're still a solid team, but they got to get healthy.
No, I mean, it was a good showing for the Rockets.
Yeah, and it's a good win. They're on a good roll right now, and if they can keep winning, I still think they have a shot at the two seed, but they got to keep winning. And for me, I don't have any idea how this is going to work in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I hope it does, because it'd be fun. They're a lot more fun to watch right now than they have been. They're spreading things out. They're going to the basket more. I mean, I like what they're doing.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or get us on the Blitz Facebook page. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Aaron is Blitz. That's four already.
I don't know.
At Degenerates975, you can text the show. You know the number for that. You can Twitch the show. You know the number for that. And if you missed the first 2 hours, well, that's some of what you missed. All available at podcastarena.com. I saw somewhere that Russell Westbrook's averaging over 30 points a game and averaging making like 1 3-pointer a game during this stretch.
Because it's a good idea.
I know.
That's like when you're a crappy three-point shooter, stop shooting three-pointers.
Exactly. And that's...
I've always been high on that philosophy. Well, low-percentage three-point shooters shouldn't shoot more threes to make up for it. Jim Jordan.
Well, but, yeah, I think since I've gone smaller, it's given him more room to drive to the basket, and he's doing that more, and he's more effective. This is how I always thought this thing could work, is, yeah. You know, he pushes things, and if you get into the half court, then you get the ball to James and let him do something. And so far, so good. Everybody sent me some of the before pics of our alternate gym of the day.
Yes, our lovely lady.
I am going to probably be in the minority here. Like the big version better.
Okay.
I think she's cuter. Certainly in the face. So I would.
Okay.
Of course, I have.
You have really low standards.
At this point, as long as it doesn't have a penis, I think. Yeah. But no, I think she's kind of cute big. And you guys can make fun of me all you want now.
So T. Higgins is one of the guys who has said that he plans on running a 4-4. A lot of people have questioned his speed coming in. That was one of the good route runner, nice hands. Everyone's like, how fast can you run? He's been saying he's going to run a 4-4. And then the time came for him to run at the combine, which is basically a gathering where people are there to watch you perform athletically. And he decided he's not going to run because he wants to rest. Don't you rest for this?
Yeah, this is where you can make yourself some money.
That's...
Now, there are some things I think a lot of guys want to do at their pro day instead. But how much difference is a 40 going to make? Are you going to suddenly get faster?
Somebody, I don't know who tweeted it, but I saw this earlier today. Fast guys run fast. Slow guys run slow. Really slow guys don't run at all. That's, I kind of believe it.
You can be a 4-6 receiver, and as long as you're quick off the line and can get open.
You're probably not getting drafted in the first round.
No, you're probably not, but you can be a really effective receiver. There have been some guys who went lower because of that that turned out to be really good. So, yeah, that's a bad look. So I wonder if there's a place that tells us all the things that are closed now because of the water problem. Because I just saw House of Blues tweeted out that they had to move a show tonight to Monday. So it's definitely impacting some things. Thankfully, I have plenty of alcohol at home.
Yeah.
But I'm told the place that we go for steak night's open, so I'll be going there.
There you go.
832. Guy is already resting for training for camp. Good for him.
Resting? What? Isn't this what you rest for? Like, for when this happens? That's a very interesting decision to rest on the day that they actually want to see you work out. You had a long day sleeping yesterday. That was
Well, at least you didn't throw poo in the hotel room. Like,
that's true.
Yeah,
there have been worse things happen at the
allegedly. Yeah, but hey, you know what? We need another bowl game.
Oh yes.
So the Los Angeles Bowl is going to be a thing. And it will feature Pac-12 and Mountain West schools.
I thought it was going to feature homeless people.
Yeah, that's L.A. I'm sure they'll be all over the stadium. But SoFi Stadium, which is the new one, officially launched its new collegiate football bowl game.
Not surprising they're going to have a bowl game there. I mean, you build that stadium, you want to get as many events sold for it as you can. That's unsurprising.
The game will feature the number one selection in the Mountain West Conference. Provided that team is not in the college football playoff or a New Year's Six Bowl, I think you're safe there. So you're Mountain West champion. So basically Boise State, Fresno every now and then. But they'll play against a Pac-12 selection.
Okay.
So.
Can't wait.
And apparently the Mountain West has already kicked out of the Las Vegas Bowl in favor of schools from the Big Ten and SEC. So this will replace the Vegas Bowl. Mountain West doesn't have a lot of appealing teams.
How dare you say such a thing?
Well, so.
You never know when New Mexico will win more than two games, right?
That's true.
You never know when, who's another crummy? You never know when Colorado State will jump up at you.
Yeah,
or the Fighting Rainbow Warriors. That's your guys, Fred. How dare you besmirch
them? They had a good season last year. They made it to the championship game, but now their coach is gone.
And we all know the history, the rich, rich history of UNLV football.
Mm.
No?
Well, they did have...
Yeah, you're probably right.
I was going to say, well, the VOD. No. Okay, never mind. Yeah, it's basically Boise and a bunch of donkeys.
Fresno is good sometimes.
Yeah.
Air Force is. They were decent this year. I don't know if they'll continue to be. San Diego State was good for a good while.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it's pretty.
It's a pretty short stretch, but the only one that's consistently good every year is Boise.
Yes.
Doesn't matter who coaches or who they have there. But, they really need to have BYU still in there.
Yeah.
But you know what? For football perspective, BYU plays a much better schedule now that they don't have to play all those donkey-ass teams. So.
And honestly, they're in better shape in basketball, too, being in the WCC. Because they're in the same conference as Gonzaga, St. Mary's. Like, there's some actual... It's probably going to be a three-bid league. Mountain West isn't going to be that, certainly.
No. Hockley Dan talking about T. Higgins.
Uh-huh.
Maybe he wore a 45-pound costume to sleep and couldn't run at the combine. It's a possibility.
You know what? I looked up San Diego State.
Yeah.
They were good for the whole time Rocky Long was there. The fewest amount of games they won, they went to a bowl game every year that he was there.
How long was he there?
He was there since 2011.
Okay.
And before that, it was Brady Hoke who flipped that into a Michigan job, and now he's back.
Yeah.
But from 2011 to 2019, they were 81-38.
That's pretty good.
68%. Yeah. I mean, that's really good. The fewest amount of games they won was 7, and they had multiple 10-11 win seasons. For the Mountain West, that's damn good.
Yeah.
If you're not, especially if you're not Boise.
Right. Although, I mean, it's not that hard to win that many in conference, so if you have a good team.
That's true.
That's kind of the, but I don't know. Brady Hoke's back. So, God, I never thought I'd mention Brady Hoke again on this show. And here we are. So, did Rocky Long just retire? Or?
Yeah. Yeah, he's old.
Okay. I didn't realize he was that old, but I guess it kind of makes sense. Man, they had some good bowl games in there.
Yeah, no,
BYU.
That's a pretty good run.
They beat Houston that year.
Rocky Long is 70.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's time to hang it up then.
Yep. Oh, but now, now it says that Rocky Long is going to be the defensive coordinator at New Mexico.
Really?
I thought he was retiring.
Yeah, maybe they just not. Why would they force him out?
After a 10-win season?
Now I'm going to have to look this up and find out.
I
got to
know what's going on. Yeah. Now, Rocky Long came to San Diego State. I don't know. He may have had a stop between. He was at New Mexico before. And then he was not a very good coach at New Mexico. New Mexico football has really never been good. Let me see. He went from the head coach at New Mexico to the DC at San Diego State to the head coach, and now he's the DC at New Mexico. Interesting.
Well, maybe he's got a home there and he's retiring to there.
Maybe so.
But now I'm going to have to look this up on the break because okay. I'm confused. I don't know that I'd want Brady Hoke back.
Former BC Lion.
Is he?
And he's a New Mexico alum. Like he went to school there, so yeah.
Yeah, he played.
So he's just looking for a cush gig to retire with.
He also played for the Detroit Wheels of the World Football League.
I'm not familiar with the World Football
League.
I am not
familiar with that either. So, yeah, I just said soon after his resignation from San Diego State, New Mexico announced he'd be returning to take over as defensive coordinator.
There you go.
Under new coach Danny Gonzalez, a former player and assistant coach under Long at New Mexico as well as San Diego State. So he's just going to help his guy out.
Okay.
Yeah, that's cool. Plus, it's not as hard a job, obviously, when you're 70 years old.
I mean, I think it's harder when you're 70.
Well, no.
You wake up, you change your diaper, you eat your grape nuts.
I mean, I don't think being a defensive coordinator at 70 is harder than being a head coach at 70.
Oh, no, probably not.
Lamont, how can you bleeps do a sports show when my water heater pilot light is out?
Well,
yeah, you know what?
I'll work on that.
Okay, you take that one.
Actually, I don't know what part of town Lamont lives in. I might not be going.
Yeah, I think he's the wrong direction if he lives where I think he does.
If it's on my way home, I'll work on that. If not, you're going to need to call somebody who's not dealing with as many things as I am.
Yeah,
I'm already dealing with a water break. I'm dealing with coronavirus. I've got a lot of stuff on my table.
I also have Israel-Palestine I've got to work out. I mean, it's just, you know, we're doing the best we can here, guys.
Stock market.
Yeah. Do I have stock market or do you have stock market? I think I have stock market.
Okay.
I have stock market, flood.
And I have to take my kid to a hitting lesson tonight. So, a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, it's heavy as the head that wears the crown.
Yeah. Luckily, Delaware is getting points and they're up 10. So,
yeah, you got to go.
Some things are good.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Thank God that water main didn't affect Delaware. I mean, that would have been a disaster.
Well, thank God it didn't happen Sunday because I'm going to go to that watch party and watching your Roughnecks.
True.
Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Sean on Twitch says, if you have cash, throw it in the stock market now. I agree. And Rockets Babe asked, did you talk about HISD getting raided by the FBI? I just saw that story. Not really any detail. Excuse me. Not really any details other than that they went to the administrative offices of HISD and the home of the district's chief operating officer. And apparently there was an IRS agent there as well. So I don't want to speculate, but if the IRS with FBI and chief operating officer, that kind of sounds.
Sounds shady.
Yeah. It sounds financial to me.
I found a great story from the Combine. You know how T. Higgins is a wide receiver and decided not to run? And I say, yeah. I blame him for that.
Yeah.
Would you ever blame a kicker or punter for not participating in the bench press?
No.
Nor would I. In fact,
I just want to know how far they can kick the damn ball.
In fact, Michael Turk from Arizona State was the only kicker or punter to take part in the bench press at the Combine this year.
Okay.
He is 6 foot and a half inch, so 6 foot 0.5.
6 foot. We round down for that.
He weighs 226.
Okay. So he's a chunky fellow.
Yeah. He's thick.
Okay.
So, mind you, weighs 226 pounds. The bench reps are 225. He did 25 reps on the bench today.
Wow.
Let's put that into a little bit of perspective, Fred.
Okay.
There was one tight end who lifted today.
Yeah.
That had more reps than Turk did.
Wow.
There were 33 wide receivers who lifted today. Zero of them had more reps than 226-pound Michael Turk. Turk's 25 reps were more than Frank Clark, who did 19 in 2015. Jadeveon Clowney, who did 21 in 2014. DeMarcus Lawrence, who did 20 in 2014. Devin White did 22 in 2019. Chandler Jones did 22 in 2012. And Michael Bennett did 24 in 2009. He beat all those guys.
Didn't Kevin Durant do something like two?
I don't know that he could even do it.
Yeah, I remember there being a problem with him in the...
He was, I mean, Kevin Durant weighed like 150 pounds. Kevin Durant was awkwardly skinny at Texas. 21 of Turk's punts went for 50 yards or more.
Okay.
Averaged 46 yards a punt, including one 75-yard punt in the team's opener against Kent State. His name may sound familiar because his uncle, Matt Turk, was an NFL punter for 17 seasons, including a stop in Houston.
Ah, I don't remember Matt Turk.
Well, you'll remember the name now. 25 reps on the bench.
Wow.
I would be embarrassed if I was one of those other guys. Come on, bro. Wouldn't that punter clown you?
Yeah. Lamont said, how can you hideous and sensitive humans do a sports show when feral hogs are running around Harris County? How about you help us with that one? I know you have a gun. You go shoot them.
Yeah.
We can't do everything. I mean, I'm working on this Middle East problem right now. A little higher up on my priority list. And, you know, one of us may have to solve this HISD FBI thing. We just don't know. There's only so much.
Yeah, apparently Durant couldn't do 185 at least one time at the NBA combine. Wow. And everybody was laughing at him, and he said, just wait.
Yeah.
Just give me a basketball, and I'll prove it.
Yeah, he turned out okay. So,
yeah. Lamont, maybe when I'm done working on climate change, I'll worry about the pig.
Well, and I have to deal with the aliens.
Right.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I mean, I've invested a lot of time into that and trying to solve this whole issue of UFOs. Do they really exist? Are they really out there? Ancient astronaut theorists believe. Yeah, I'm working on that. That's on my to-do list. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Speaking of aliens, did you see that the one of the endings that got scrapped from Endgame was going to get Nick Fury killed?
No.
Yeah, apparently one of...
That was the time to do it.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Endgame yet.
There's no reason for you not to have seen it by now.
If Iron Man can die, I feel like anybody else is kind of... It's kind of open season.
Five, I think you're closing in on your record. Deontay Wilder said the punter had inside help with the bench press. And somebody says banging alien women is not dealing with the alien problem.
That is true.
Okay, fine.
But Fred does things his own way.
I do. I mean, give me a little credit here. I am working with them. But sometimes that's... things happen.
Lamont says, I'm not the smartest man, but when you want a punter or a kicker to be participating in leg presses or squats. Yeah, but, I mean, you remember that the punter at Baylor, Daniel Sepulveda?
Yeah.
Who was like punter / linebacker? I wish all punters looked like that dude. Like, you'd be terrified that they were going to run a fake punt and just behead you.
Well, and you'd like him to be the guy that whenever the punter's the last dude on a touchdown run, he'd be able to light somebody up.
Exactly.
Yeah, instead of the, I'm going to sort of run at you and hope somebody gets you from behind. Yeah. And Stephen, the weather guy, asking who's handling coronavirus. That's AJ. AJ's on coronavirus. He'll get it figured out. He's got the best people. They're tremendous. They're working on this virus. And the media is blowing this all out of proportion. # fake news. Believe it. Sad. 713. There are good UFOs on both, good and bad UFOs on both sides. Depends on which of the theories you believe as to good and bad. I mean, anal probing without your permission, that's bad. There's a guy, Harvey Weinstein, just got found guilty of that.
Yeah.
That's a negative. But you know the cool ones that like want to bring you like Romulan ale and hang out and try all kinds of space liquor. Those are the cool ones. Sometimes you got to get a little stoned to meet them. How the hell do we get on this? By the way, Aaron, how about you help solve a world problem? We don't have to take all the burden on us, do we?
I'll take some of the pigs. I'll go out and I'll kill the pigs.
Okay, you'll take care of the pigs.
And I'll distribute the bacon among Houston's homeless. And when it heats up in the summer, they can cook it on the sidewalk.
Okay, that's...
I'm solving two crises there.
That's a good plan. Congratulations. Thank you for participating. 832 wants to know who's handling the Astros PR team. Yeah, they're beyond help. There's nothing we can do for them.
It's too far gone.
Yeah. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Crank this for a minute. Love this song.
Did this song come out, Fred?
It was off... which album was that off? Was that the... It wasn't on Heaven and Hell. It was on... That was one of his solo albums. Yeah, Holy Diver was the album. Yeah.
1983.
The year I graduated from high school.
Yeah.
We did a couple of Ronnie James Dio songs, and I think this was his second album. The first one was the one that had Rainbow in the Dark on it, which is also a great
Live
song.
Evil?
No, I think that
was... That's a live album.
That was a Black
Under
Sabbath
Ronnie James
album.
Dio,
that was a Black Sabbath album, I think.
Ronnie James Dio chronology, discography.
Ronnie James Dio, who died right here in Houston getting cancer treatment.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Let's see.
That one made me sad. I was a big fan of his.
Well, here's the deal. Ronnie did a lot, as we know.
Yeah. Well, he was in Rainbow for a while.
Ronnie James Dio, do you know that his career started in 1958?
Really?
Ronnie and the Red Caps.
Okay, that's not a good name.
Was the first release. Then he joined a new band, Ronnie Dio and the Prophets, in 1962.
Okay, I wasn't even born yet.
And that went through 1967.
Okay.
Now you were born.
Now I'm born. But I'm not listening to rock music yet.
In 1963, he recorded a live LP called Dio at Domino's, recorded live at Domino's Restaurant in Cortland, New York.
Okay.
Then he was in a band in 1967 called the Electric Elves. And then they changed the name of the band to the Elves. And that was in 1969 and 1970.
Then it became Elf, didn't
it? Then he was in a band called Elf.
Yeah.
72 to 75.
I actually remember hearing an Elf song.
Then he was in Rainbow from 75 to 78.
Man on the Silver Mountain was probably the best song they did when he was in Rainbow.
But did a lot of live albums back then and did a lot of live albums after they were relevant, after they were done being relevant.
Right.
Then joined Black Sabbath from 1980 and worked with them, it looks like, until 2009.
Yeah, I thought he went off on his solo career and then went back to Black Sabbath.
Right.
Because there was a stretch where Ozzy went back to Black Sabbath, and yeah.
Now, it says here his first studio album, as just released as Dio, was Holy Diver.
Okay. Okay, Rainbow in the Dark was on that album, too.
Yes.
So, and then he did, I think Last in Line was a pretty good one that he did after that. And then
that was his second album.
Yeah, and anything he did after that was kind of crap.
What about Master of the Moon, 2004?
No.
You didn't even listen to it, did you?
Nope.
Isn't that the worst, like when you love a band, and then, I mean, you're really into a band, and then years later they release an album, and you never even bother to listen to it?
Well, I would say seeing him front Black Sabbath is probably one of the top 10 concerts I've seen all time. It was very theatrical. It was very devil worshipy. Parts of it made me uncomfortable, but it was an amazing show. And I saw them at the Music Hall, which I don't even know what it is now. But there's one of his albums where if you turn Dio upside down, it says Devil.
Okay.
That's kind of my Dio trivia for you.
I was big into Slipknot when I was a kid. When I was a kid. Like, I think they started making music in, like, the late 90s. So, I mean, post-high school for me, at least. But I was really into that band. I went and saw them play live probably upwards of 15, 20 times.
Yeah, I've seen them a few times. They're a great live show.
They released an album in August of last year. I've never heard it. And, like, I was big time into this band.
Oh, yeah.
I've never heard it.
Well, there's a certain point where you just, okay, guys, stop making new music.
Yes.
And because once the fall off happens, I have a theory about this. I think to write great music, you have to be miserable. And you can only be miserable for so long, then you either kill yourself, like a lot of these guys do, or you stop being miserable, you get happy, and then you can't write anything anymore. Because all the best songs are, you know, they're about angst and misery and emotion.
I think the guys who did it right, like the bands that I truly loved, like I loved System of a Down. They made music. I think they made like 5 albums in a 5 or 7 year span, and then they stopped making music. And now everybody's like, "Oh man, I wish there was more System of a Down."
But you don't
Rage Against the Machine, probably my favorite band that's been post 1990. Maybe Metallica is in that conversation, but they've got 4 albums, and I love all 4 of those albums. I don't know if I mean, I would listen. They're a band that and Metallica too. When Metallica puts out new music, I always buy it to check it out. If Rage put out a new album, I would certainly buy it.
But I don't need another Rage album.
I'm not clamoring for it. Would I like to see Rage live again? Sure. Am I glad they're going on tour again? Yes. But I don't think I need new music. I just want to hear them play their old badass songs.
That's how I kind of feel about any band from the 80s or 90s. I don't need new music from you. You have enough great stuff.
If you were from the 80s or before, I definitely don't need new music.
Right. Well, even the 90s now. I think the only band from the 90s that I still buy anything they drop is Shinedown. And
I didn't even hear about Shinedown until the 2000s.
They were around for a long time.
I mean, I'll take your word for it, but I didn't know that.
And it's funny how I found them was on a video game. I was playing some baseball game on, I think at the time it was PlayStation at the time. But I was 2000. God. They were 2000. So
here's another example. Band that was when I was in junior high. You know, you have those bands that you're like, man, this is my jam. These are my guys.
Yeah.
I was big into Pearl Jam. Their first album came out in 1991. And if you, I know this makes me sound like an old man to some of you. I was 11 years old when Pearl Jam 10 came out. And Pearl Jam 10, if you've never heard that album, it's one of the greatest albums ever from start to finish.
Oh yeah, it's
there's no bad songs on it. It's almost like a masterpiece. And Pearl Jam, if they never made another album, they would have been set, because that album was just, it was perfect. They did an album in 93 called Versus. It was good. They did an album in 94 called Vitalogy, which was, I thought, really good. No Code in 96, Yield in 98, Binaural in 2000, Riot Act in 2002. If you'd asked me to name Pearl Jam's discography, that's where I would have thought it stopped. Pearl Jam has put out four albums since Riot Act, one self-titled called Pearl Jam, one called Backspacer, one called Lightning Bolt, and one called Gigaton, which actually Gigaton's not out yet. It'll be out next month. It's a studio album coming out next month. But Lightning Bolt was released in 2013. I didn't even know it existed. And part of it is all of their first up until Riot Act, which is the last album I've heard of, was released on Epic, like a major label release. Then they started being released on J, is the name of the label. Monkey Wrench, the name of the label. Smaller labels, I guess there's lower release. But now with the internet, you'd think it's just everywhere. But I didn't even know they had new albums. Yeah, I just stopped caring about them.
I don't really need it. That's the thing. And Shinedown's first album was 2003, so it was later than I thought. They formed in 2000. So still, it's 17 years ago.
Yeah, 17 years of sucking.
Not get out of here. But, I mean, every album they put out, I still buy. And so it was MLB The Bigs or something like that was the game it was on. It was Fly From The Inside was the... And then somebody asked, what about Red Hot Chili Peppers?
I don't care about them.
I don't need to ever hear another new song from them. I don't need Guns N' Roses doing new music. It's just, you know, all of these guys, it's funny when I'm listening to Sirius and they're like on either the alternative, you know, these bands from the 90s and early 2000s or even the 80s. It's like, oh, they're working on a new album. Apparently Rat is working on it. Who cares?
Don't do it.
Just play Round and Round over and over again. That's it. Stop it. Randy says Appetite for Destruction is another album with no bad songs. I think I loved every song on both the Use Your Illusions too, which again probably puts me in the minority. But I never need a new. I also sat through every song of Chinese Democracy and wanted to kill myself.
Well, another example, Smashing Pumpkins, who I'll put their first three or four albums up against anything. And then I went and saw Smashing Pumpkins play recently live. And when they would do songs that I'd never heard of, I was like, these songs suck.
Yeah, I was watching, I think I mentioned this the other day. I was watching whatever that music channel is where they do concerts, and they had Lynyrd Skynyrd, and he comes up and goes, "This is from our new album," and it was so awful. I flipped the channel immediately. I'd rather watch Ellen. All right. Quick break. One more segment to go. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. One last segment to go. Mott says, I never hear you guys mention AC/DC in your rock band discussions. I've heard people say all of AC/DC work sounds the same. I like AC/DC a lot, but I was always, and you know, I'm old, so I was always Bon Scott AC/DC better than Brian Johnson AC/DC. And I got to see them with Bon Scott not long before he died when they came through Houston. And I think they had some great songs after that, but to me, their best stuff was Highway to Hell, Shoot the Thrill. I mean, there were so many great songs with Bon Scott that, you know, I didn't dislike Brian Johnson AC/DC, but I just loved Bon Scott AC/DC. Not my fault he died. Touch Too Much might be the best song that nobody's heard that they did. All right, let's do Hoffman on Hollywood. Sorry.
We kind of have been. Lamont says, what did your parents say when they heard you listening to Metallica, like Fade to Black?
My parents were really cool about stuff. The only time we got in trouble is we faked a Kiss concert and almost set the house on fire.
Yeah.
That was kind of dumb. But yeah, my parents are great about this stuff.
And by the time I got to Kill 'Em All, Ride the Lightning, and Master of Puppets, they had already been out. Like, they were old albums by the time I got my hands on them. I think And Justice for All was the first album from Metallica that I got, like, when it came out.
That was a badass album.
Well, I don't... Metallica is another one of those bands who, and I know people like the hardcore metalheads hate on the Black Album.
I like the Black Album.
I like the Black Album too. And I would put their first five albums up against damn near anybody. You know, maybe not the Beatles or Zeppelin, but damn near anybody else.
Yeah, Master of Puppets. I mean, there was some good stuff there.
Yeah, like those guys, they didn't put out it. I mean, until they got to like Load and Reload. Even those had a couple good songs, but they also had a couple crappy songs. Metallica was like the when they cut their hair, it was kind of downhill.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I've enjoyed, and that maybe because they were so strong for so long, I'm always willing to give them a second chance.
Yeah.
So when they put something new out, I'm like, oh, okay, I'll check it. And honestly, like whatever they put out a couple years ago, I don't remember what the
Hardwired to Self-Destruct.
Yeah. I listened to it. It had some decent songs. It wasn't great, but it ain't Master of Puppets, but you're not going to do that anymore.
Yeah, so you mentioned Shoot the Thrill was Brian Johnson. I was thinking of Touch Too Much. Just was going too fast there. Touch Too Much, Whole Lotta Rosie, all those old school Bon Scott songs, man. Like the Highway to Hell album does not have a bad song.
Yeah, probably right. That's a good album, yeah, too.
And, you know, so... Not that I disliked the band after that. I still thought they were pretty good. And they had some great, like, Back in Black is a great song. But you know, somebody mentioned Aerosmith, and that's kind of a different...
Man, Aerosmith was a roller coaster. They did some really good songs, and they vanished forever.
Well, they disappeared for a while, and then they got clean and came back and then had almost a second career. I liked their music better when they were on drugs.
To me... Dream On is like one of the coolest songs ever. And that was on, again, that's you're talking about a song that came out in 1973. So I wasn't alive when it came on. My first introduction into like modern day Aerosmith. I guess it's modern. They've tried to do this like they've re-jumped like four times, but when they did Pump and Get a Grip were the ones that, like, I remember. Oh, okay. Yeah, like Get a Grip is the one with the that's when Alicia Silverstone was in all their videos.
Yeah.
That's when they got real big again. Pump was the one that they had. It had two trucks, like it had a truck towing another truck on the cover of it, and had like Janie's Got a Gun and Love in an Elevator on it.
Yeah.
And that's when I first discovered Aerosmith. Oh, well, that's when I discovered that Aerosmith was still making music. My parents listened to like old school rock and roll, so I heard all Toys in the Attic and the original Aerosmith.
Toys in the Attic, which was a fantastic record.
So I heard all that stuff.
Sweet Emotion and Walk This Way on the same album.
Yep. And then when that album Get a Grip came out, it's like you would have thought Aerosmith was this brand new band because they were all over MTV.
Yeah.
They had that Living on the Edge. It had Crying, which is the one that had Alicia Silverstone. Yeah. And Alicia Silverstone was the hottest chick in the world at the time. It had Amazing. It had Crazy. I'd have to look up how many records they sold. I would imagine it's their best-selling album because it came out at a time when, you know, you could sell a lot of records.
Yeah.
And they were getting the MTV push, and it had so many damn hits on it. I would imagine that was a wildly successful commercial album for them. But you're right. It did kind of bring them back from a career that they'd kind of gone away from altogether.
Well, and they had an album before all that.
Permanent Vacation?
No, Rockin' a Hard Place. Permanent Vacation had some hits on it.
Yeah.
That had Love in an Elevator.
And no, that was on Pump.
What was on Permanent Vacation?
Ragdoll, Dude Looks Like a Lady.
Yeah, Dude Looks Like a Lady. That's what I was thinking of, yeah. But they had an album out before that called Rockin' a Hard Place. It had a song called Lightning Strikes on it that was fantastic, and it got nothing.
I never heard that album. And they've got an album called Done with Mirrors that I don't know if I've ever heard. Night in the Ruts, I don't know if I've ever heard. So that one
I've heard.
They had a little section of their career where I don't know if I really was into them. But
they kind of fell apart for a while. And so, yeah.
I don't want music from them now.
No, I don't need it now. Yeah, Night in the Ruts was, I think, a live album. Because they didn't really do a studio album until Rockin' a Hard Place in 82. Just Draw the Line was 77, which was their last album before they hit the next group of in the 80s. But yeah, they did one in called Honkin' on Bobo in 2004.
Yep,
know nothing about it.
Nope.
All right, well, that was fun. I hope everybody has an awesome evening. We'll be back to wrap up the week tomorrow. Got a little Patrick Creighton coming up next with Jason Braddock, so stick around for that. Till tomorrow, stay sportsy, bitches.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.